Father Yahweh, we humble our hearts before you, Father, again, to ask for a blessing for all those that have a petition before you on this prayer list. We also ask that you bless this message, Father. Bless those that are here, those that are listening over the phone line as well as the video conference, and those that will hear the CDs in the future, Father. We ask that you bless all of your servants who have drawn themselves close to you, Father, to gain the knowledge that you've prepared for them this day. Help us, Father. Touch the hearts of those on the prayer list, the bodies, and heal those according to your will, Father. You are Yahweh Yireh, our provider. Yahweh Rapha, our healer. So, Father, you know what each and every person on this prayer list needs. We ask, Father, that you would hear and answer prayer because you've told them to come to the elders and to receive an anointing and that their sins would be forgiven and that you would heal them, Father. And we ask, Father, that you would heal all those that are seeking, especially those that need comfort because they've lost a loved one and they need your comfort that only comes from you, Father, because you can do all things. And again, Father, we thank you for the blessings from on high, for our life, health, and strength, and our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who came and gave his life that we might have the opportunity to rejoice before you, Father. Simcha Torah. This is the day, Father, that you have made, and we ask for a blessing on this day because it represents eternity, Father. And we want to be with you in eternity. And we thank you, Father, for giving us the understanding and the knowledge to bring us to this place so that we could rejoice before you. Because Simcha Torah is rejoicing in the law, Father, and we're rejoicing in your law, in your commandments, and in your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. So we thank you, Father, for all the blessings you bestowed upon us, our life, health, and strength. Yahshua's holy name, we ask all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. Today is Shemini Atzeret, the eighth day of assembly, the last great day. Simcha Torah, the joy of the Torah. And we are rejoicing in the law. Yahweh has told us to come before him and rejoice before him. This is the beginning and the end of the Torah cycle. Today, the Parsha ends and it starts again. Now read Deuteronomy chapter 34 as the end of the Parsha and the half Torah. And they'll start again immediately reading Bereshit, which is Genesis. Now, a lot of the Jewish people and those who are messianics, the Parsha is what the rabbis have put together, and they read a portion of the law, and they read a portion of the prophets, and a lot of they even read a portion of the New Testament, those who are not strictly Judaism. Because you have a lot of sacred name believers who read the Parsha as well. They follow what the rabbis have designated that you read. Now, the difference in what we do and the way we read, we don't eliminate portions of the text. Like, we will read Isaiah 53. But it's not going to be a part of the Parsha. So, again, today is the day that the beginning and the end of the Torah cycle. The Torah points us in the right direction. The Hebrew word Torah is often translated as law. But actually, that's not a good translation. The word comes from yirah, which means to shoot, to aim or to point, and morah, which means teacher. So it points up to the teacher, who is Yahshua the Messiah. You understand? Therefore, the Torah is Yahweh's instructions to his people. These instructions teach us how to live on this earth and point us to eternal life through Yahshua, our Messiah. So the Torah is designed to take us to the Savior. Now, on the other hand, sin is number 2400, kata. It means to miss the mark. If the Torah means to hit the mark, it's pointing you in the direction, sin takes you away from the mark. You miss the mark by sinning. We, Yahweh's people, on Simchat Torah, and I've entitled this message Simchat Torah. And Simchat Torah is rejoicing in the law. We're going to start off in Leviticus chapter 23, which is our law portion. In verse 33 it says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, On the 15th day of the seventh month is the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to Yahweh. We kept this feast to Yahweh. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation to you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work." And last night in the message you saw that the transition was made. There was only one Balak offered on the last great day. Only one. Whereas though we had 70 offered, starting with 13 on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and it descended 12, 11, 10, 9, 8. And then on the seventh day, 7 Balaks were offered. A total of 70 Balaks. And the rabbis teach that those 70 bullocks were offered for the 70 nations. Yet, on that last great day, Shemini, the one was offered. And it was offered for Israel. Turn over to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33 says in verse 1, "Rejoice in Yahweh, O you righteous. Praise is comely for the upright. Give thanks to Yahweh with the harp. Sing praises to him with the psaltery of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of Yahweh is right, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of Yahweh. By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses, that all the earth fear Yahweh. That all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. It's in awe of Yahweh that we come before him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Yahweh brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. When they make their plan to destroy Israel, when they make their plan to do whatever they want to do to Yahweh's people, he brings those plans to nothing. look at some of the things that transpired in the Torah. We saw many things transpire against Yahweh's people, but Yahweh brought them to nothing. They're written here for our warning. They're written in this book for us to gain an understanding of who Yahweh is. See, we have a mighty one that can do all things. There's nothing impossible or too hard for Yahweh. You think about it. Have you had any problems in your life that you thought you could not get over, you couldn't get by? Yahweh is the one that can solve all of our problems. There's nothing too hard for Yahweh. Second part of verse 10 in chapter 33, he makes the thoughts of the peoples to be of no effect. They can conjure up the thoughts. They can come up and say that they want to do this, they're going to do this, like during the days of Esther, Queen Esther. And Haman had the ear of the king. He wanted to destroy all the Jewish people throughout the whole empire. He wanted just to destroy them. And see, that's what Satan wants to do. He would like nothing better, not only during World War II with Hitler. See, he's constantly coming back with the same theme. Destroy all of Yahweh's people. Destroy all of the people of Yahweh. But Yahweh will not allow it to come to pass. It says in verse 11, the counsel of Yahweh stands fast forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose Elohim is Yahweh. You look at all these countries. You look at all these nations. But how many of them have Yahweh as their mighty one? Only Yahweh's people. Even the nation of Israel today does not have Yahweh as their mighty one. It's just Yahweh's people. We're the tribe of his inheritance. We're the ones that have him as our Elohim. The people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Yahweh looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks forth upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Remember, I said yesterday was the day that judgment was delivered. See, we have gone on into eternity, those whom Yahweh has chosen. For another year. He fashions in verse 15. The hearts of them all. That considers all their work. There is no king saved by a multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither does he deliver any by his great power. Behold, the eye of Yahweh is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul has waited for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him. Our heart is rejoicing in Yahweh. Because we have trusted in his holy name. Let the loving kindness of Yahweh be upon us according as we have hoped in you. Psalm 46, Psalm 46. Elohim is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth changes, and as though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the sea, though the waters of it roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling of it. There is a river, the streams of which make glad the city of Elohim, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Elohim is in the middle of her. She shall not be moved. Elohim will help her, and that right early. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The Elohim of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of Yahweh. What desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in pieces. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am Elohim. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The Elohim of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And Yahweh is with his people. The tabernacles of the Most High is with Yahweh's people. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 to 26. Listen to your father that procreated you, and despise not your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he that fathers a wise child will have joy in him. When we think about our children, when we think about the ones that have accepted Yahweh, we rejoice. We thank Yahweh for them. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her that bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes delight in my ways. We want to rejoice in Yahweh, and we can do it through keeping his covenant, following the commandments that he's given us. And that's what Simchat Torah is about, rejoicing in the law. When people ask us of the hope that is within us, why we're different, why do we serve this mighty one, the mighty one of Israel? Why Yahweh? We can tell them he is the only true mighty one. He's the living Elohim. All the other mighty ones are idols. See, every nation believes that they're worshiping Yahweh, even though they call him by a different name. And the Hindus, they worship Vishnu, and you have these other, like Islam, they're worshiping Allah, which is a perversion of Allah, which is a singular form of the term that means mighty one. Okay? So, but does Yahweh have a separate book that tells us that we need to do certain things that are contrary to the Ten Commandments? We're supposed to love our neighbors. We're not supposed to go out here and kill them, you know, if they don't believe the same way we believe. Now, when he took the Holy Land and he told them to go and destroy the people in the land, giving them that promised land, he did command them to destroy those people. because of the things that they were doing, bestiality and all kinds of homosexuality and all these things that they did. Yet, some of them tricked Israel. They tricked Yahshua and the Israelites. And they became servants, woodcutters, and drawers of water. But they were also sojourners among Israel, and they were taught the law and the commandments of Yahweh. Now, in this kingdom, which is soon to come, that this is a type of, before we get to eternity, we're going to have all of these children from all of these different nations that do not know Yahweh needing to be taught. They're under the age of accountability. They don't know better. See? But they're going to be required to come, as it says in Zechariah 14, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it says that the family of Egypt come not up, they're going to be cursed with no rain. So the people who are not keeping the Feast of Tabernacles today, as we go into this next year, guess what? They have no rain in their life. They're going to have a tougher time getting through. But it's up to you, because Yahweh's going to bless you with more during the sixth year. How are you going to help them? How are you going to show that love towards your neighbor? So maybe next year, they'll be at the feast. They'll be trying to follow you. They'll want to come with you so that they can learn of Yahweh the same way you have. See? This is something that's not, and it's highly controversial, even though it doesn't need to be. It's very plain when you read the scriptures about keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? It's very plain. And the last great day is about eternity. Those after, if you turn over to Revelation, chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20. It says, and when the 1,000 years are finished, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall come forth to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the war, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up over the width of the earth and encircled the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from Yahweh out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, in which also the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night for the ages of ages, determined with sorrow. And it's number 931, it means destroyed. They're not going to burn over and over. They're going to be destroyed. They'll be that second death. They will never have any being, as it shows in Ezekiel 28:16 concerning Satan, that he will be destroyed. Now, after that, you have the great white throne judgment in verse 11. On down to 15. And it says at the end of this passage in verse 14, well, verse 13, it says, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and the grave gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. So are works necessary? Absolutely. And death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire and destroyed. Proverbs chapter 3. We read part of this in the sermonette, so I'm just going to do from verse 13. It says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. For the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit of it than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and none of the things you can desire are to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. Yahweh by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heaven. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and the skies dropped down to dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life to your soul and grace to your neck." That life that we're seeking, that eternal life, comes from serving Yahweh, from being a part of his people in these last days. Ezekiel chapter 43. It says, "Afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looks toward the east, and behold, the glory of Elohim of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory, and it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like that, the vision that I saw by the river Kibar. And I fell upon my face, and the glory of Yahweh came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. And the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of Yahweh filled the house." We want to be there with that glory of Yahweh. "And I heard one speaking to me out of the house, and a man stood by me, and he said to me, 'Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the middle of the children of Israel forever, and the house of Israel shall no more defile my holy name.'" See, they're going to be in the kingdom. And Yahweh is going to dwell with us forever. "Neither they nor their kings, by their whoredom and by the dead bodies of their kings in their high places, in their setting of their threshold, by my threshold, and their doorposts besides my doorposts. And there was but the wall between me and them, and they have defiled my holy name. By their abominations they have committed, therefore I consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their whoredom and their dead bodies of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the middle of them forever." Forever. When we get to forever and eternity, we're talking about that last great day. Turn over to Zephaniah chapter 3. Keep your finger here in Ezekiel 43 and turn to Zephaniah chapter 3. We'll start in verse 9. "For then will I change the peoples a pure language, that they may call upon the name of Yahweh, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring my offering." That's from America, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. In verse 11, in that day shall you not be put to shame for all your doings in which you have transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the middle of you your proudly exalting one, and you shall no more be haughty in my holy mountain. But I will leave in the middle of you an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall take refuge in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart. See, Yahweh's telling us to rejoice before him. Yahweh has taken away your judgment. He has cast out your enemy. The king of Israel, even Yahweh, is in the middle of you. You shall not fear evil anymore. In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands be slack. Yahweh, your Elohim, is in the middle of you, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather them that sorrow for the solemn assembly, for the feast day, the Moedim, who were of you, to whom the burden upon her was a reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all them that afflict you, and I will save that which is lame. Hosanna, Yahshua, he's going to save his people. And I will make them a praise and a name whose shame has been in all the earth. And at that time will I bring you in, and at that time will I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all the peoples of the earth when I bring back the captivity, your captivity before your eyes, says Yahweh. Now back over in Ezekiel 43, verse 10, it says, you, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their sins, their iniquity, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the form of the house and the fashion of it and the egresses of it, the exits, and the entrances of it and all the forms of it and all the ordinances of it and all the forms of it and all the laws of it and write it in their sight that they may keep the whole form of it and all the ordinances of it and do them. We want to do them, to keep Yahweh's commandment. Verse 12, and this is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain, with the whole limit of it around shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Isaiah chapter 35. We'll start in verse 1. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of Yahweh, the excellency of our Elohim. Strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Elohim will come with vengeance, with recompense of Elohim, and he will come and save you. Yahshua. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap at the hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the glowing sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, and the habitation of jackals where they lay shall be grassed and with weeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed. The wayfaring men, yes, fools, shall not err in it. No lion shall be there, nor shall there be any ravenous beast go up upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come with singing to Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There shall be no sorrow and sighing in the kingdom. It's all going to flee away. Almighty Yahweh has prepared a people to be with him in eternity. And we have to be a part of that group if we're faithful. And that's why we're here. We've moved on. We've joined in to being a part of eternity as a part of this day, the eighth day. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor, and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he may be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste city, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priest of Yahweh. Men shall call you ministers of our Elohim. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory shall you boast yourself. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Because they're going to receive a blessing from Almighty Yahweh. They're going to receive the wealth of the nation. In verse 8, for I, Yahweh, love justice. I hate robbery with iniquity. And I will give them the recompense in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. This is a covenant that will never end. And their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which Yahweh has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland. And as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the earth brings forth its buds, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the sovereign Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Righteousness shall spring forth before all the nations. Turn over to Revelation 21 for our closing passage. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were gone, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men. He shall tabernacle with them. They shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. And he that sits on the throne says, Behold, I make all things new. And he says, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he says to me, They have come to pass. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that is thirsty of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his El, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the fornicators and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They're going to all be destroyed. Verse 9, and there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, who were loaded with the seven last plagues. And he spoke to me, saying, Come here, I will show you the bride and the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Elohim, having the glory of Yahweh. Her light was like a most precious stone, as it were a jasper stone, clear as crystal, having a wall great and high, having 12 gates, and at the gate 12 angels, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east side, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that spoke with me had for a measure a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates of the walls of it, and the city lies 4 square, and the length of it was as great as the width. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. And the length and the width and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall of it, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like pure glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city was adorned with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th hyacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the several gates was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple within it, for Yahweh El Shaddai and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of Yahweh did light it. And the lamp of it is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk amidst the lights of it. The kings of the earth bring their glory into it. And the gates of it shall in no wise be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. And those kings are each one of us who are a part of the 144,000 who are there. And we will bring our light into the temple. It says, and the gates of it shall in no wise be shut by day, for there shall be no night there. No more night. And they shall bring the glory of the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, for he that makes an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And each one of us has to be written in that book of life for us to be in this day, the day that represents eternity. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of us that has entered in to eternity, into Gemini at Seret, the eighth day, eternity. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one who has overcome this life and entered in to Yahweh's rest. If you would all stand at this time, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, again we come before you, giving glory to your holy name. We come before you, Father, to praise you and to thank you for the blessings from on high, for being with your people during this eight-day observance. We ask, Father, that you would bless us even to the end of this day and even through the next service, that you would touch the hearts of each one that has been called out of this sinful world into your marvelous light. Truly, Father, we love being with you, and we thank you for the blessing from on high. We ask, Father, that your word would touch our lives and cause each one of us to serve you better. We want to be in your eternity. We want to be a part of your kingdom. But help us, Father, as we seek to do that which is right in your sight, and bless us and forgive us of anything that we've done that was sinful through the blood of your Son, our Lamb, Yahshua the Messiah. In his holy name, we ask all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah.